This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with Professor H.J. Mackinder in International Relations, as he does each week in wartime and before wartime, and wartime will continue indefinitely. Remember what history tells us. They don't end wars like this. They hit the pause button, and then they start up again. So, Professor, Keefe's point of view. We're watching, well, for an historical example, we're watching the what if Czechoslovakia had fought. What if? What if they had not abandoned Sudetenland as sold out by France, Daladier, and Britain, Chamberlain? What if they had stuck to their frontier and demanded the Germans show what they're worth? What if? I think the Germans would have overwhelmed them eventually, and they would have taken the whole of Czechoslovakia at that moment, which is what Hitler wanted. However, the what if is always available, and here we have Keefe's point of view. Does Keefe believe that it can hold out long enough for NATO to rally?
Well, I think the problem that Keefe faces now really is that there's no sign of NATO rallying to the or the United States or any potential ally rallying to the degree that would be necessary for a decisive termination of this war and the construction of a robust new security framework. Your comments about Czechoslovakia remind me of the important book by Professor Williamson Murray of Ohio State called The Change in the European Balance of Power, in which he makes the argument that if the Czechs had fought, they might well have prevailed. And the reasons are two. One is that the invasion that Hitler would have had to make would have had to take him through mountain passes, which the Czechs had very strongly defended. And second, that the Czechs had, of course, the Skoda works. They had very strong munitions. And the third and the most important point is that Hitler would have been very, very unsettled if he had anything that was not as smooth as the Anschluss, as the as driving the tanks decked with holly and greens into Austria in the peaceful, so-called peaceful takeover and reincorporation or incorporation of Austria into the Reich. So the Ukrainians are doing as well as could be imagined, but could they withstand a massive new Russian assault if the Russians hit the pause button and the West continues to treat this as if it were some kind of a local problem and not a test of what Russia's coercive power is going to be in the future? And I think the answer is, sadly, I don't think the Ukrainians could resist forever, not without more weapons and supplies, and not without a real commitment by allies to fight with them and to drive Putin out. Now, that's very nasty, but that's a war. And as Clausewitz says, the fact that the killing, the Dschlacht, the battle is gruesome and horrible, does not keep it from being, it is absolutely the central and deciding factor in warfare. And Putin has chosen to use warfare rather than economics or negotiation or anything like this in dealing with the Ukrainians. And if somebody pulls a gun on you, probably the best reaction is for you to be able to pull a gun on them. Although people will tell you you should offer to buy the gun and so forth, but that's just silly. It comes from the sort of the extreme peaceniks. So I think that the problem that we're going to discover is that the war is going to escalate. And you haven't mentioned it, but of course there's great concern now in Kazakhstan, which is an immense country. And if and Putin feels he has to somehow put Kazakhstan back under closer Russian control, The whole of Eurasia, the whole Turkic Islamic section of Eurasia, not to mention the Turkic Islamic section of Russia. And remember that Mr. Shoigu, the Russian defense minister, is in fact of Mongol Turkic ancestry. He's from Tanatuva. He's a Tuvan. And he's married to a Russian woman who, or his mother was a Russian woman who was born in Ukraine, although they must have met in Tuva. So the prospects for Ukraine are not good unless they are able to secure a robust and functional alliance, just as Churchill understood perfectly well that for all his defiant words, for all the extraordinary bravery of the British forces and all the rest, for all of his defiance, for all of the fact that the British were the only country in World War II to mobilize totally so that everything went to the war effort and there were no consumer products or anything. For all of that, Churchill knew that unless he could get the United States in, sooner or later Hitler was going to beat him. And the same is true for Ukraine. They've got to somehow get this war to be treated as what it is, a widening and very, very dangerous war by people who are treating it now as if it were some kind of a seminar exercise in which we were able to say, well, we don't want to do this, but we do want to do that. War has imperatives, and some of them are quite ghastly. And I think that the Ukrainians understand that. But there's going to be, I suspect, a reshuffling of alliances. This is going to protract, and it's going to get bigger and more violent, and more countries are going to feel threatened, so threatened that they will start pitching in.
A metaphor, Professor, for our last minute together, a metaphor I heard from a long-serving military man, now an advisor. War is a dark room. You've just entered. The door shuts behind you. That's where we're headed, Professor.
I think that's right. And the pity of it is that I don't think there's a single person in the administration, perhaps even including the Secretary of Defense himself, who have ever spent serious time in the academic and the theoretical study of war. Everybody knows economics. They have some sense about interest rates and all the rest. But if you get a conversation, even among well-educated Americans, about war, they're completely clueless about how to approach this subject or how to understand that. And I think that word clueless would apply to the people who are making our decisions right now. It will be interesting to see how well Mr. Biden does in Europe, because the Europeans, I think, are going to press him with very difficult questions.
Professor H.J. Mackinder, International Relations. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.